We definitely got a little bit of a late start on the testing, and testing has been a little bit slow. Do we know for sure if testing is available here in Brewster County in the event?
Well, so they can do the swab currently, and then it goes off.
But that has
off.
To be sent. Yeah, that has to be off. Sent off. So
I think with some of the stuff we've seen from the Abbott Laboratories and some of the other testing agencies, is we'll see that filter down into the different communities across America over the next 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. That'll give us some little quicker results on testing. The other thing I wanted to make sure that we mentioned today. The governor signed a couple orders over the weekend, started with one about quarantine of people coming in from other states, and then he kind of doubled down on it and picked out some specific cities in an updated order yesterday. It's very important to understand that we're looking at that from our airport. We're also looking at that from a law enforcement perspective, both with our sheriff and with our police chief, to ensure there's compliance on that. And that's a 14-day quarantine.
Yeah.
So, for example, I think Councilor Rick Stevens was on with you the other day, and he's in California.
And he's self-quarantined.
And, you know, at the point in time when he comes back out here, he'll quarantine again. I personally... very interesting thing. So my wife and I hit 25 years this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Actually, this Thursday will be 25 years. Very special time. This is the longest we've ever been apart. But, you know, she's taking care of her mom and dad, and I'm down here. And so you just honor that. And that's the piece that we've seen with people in Alpine is they're honoring what the requests are, but we've got to continue to emphasize that we honor those requests for quarantine, because we don't want to see us take a step back.
No, and we're kind of in a catch-22 situation in that being as isolated as we are from big cities, we don't have as many risk factors, but it only takes one risk factor to come into our community, and then since we're so close, if we do get it here, then it could propagate pretty quickly. So it's, you know, it's almost like we won't get it at all, or if we do get it, it might not be very good. So it's let's do our best to keep it away from us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a real good point, Martin, that the whole thing with the hotel motels, the tourism, and as you know, we got a lot of flack for that. Not a lot, but some. I mean, for the majority of
the population. Well, you got sued, let's let it out there, but that's okay.
Yeah, I did. Okay. Yeah, about the county and myself. And for the commissioners, or through the commissioners. But anyway, the point was to try to really control that variable, as far as folks that are coming into the community and looking at a way to look at something that we can do as a community, as a county, as a city of Alpine, because there's so many things that are out of our control. So at the end of the day, I think that really helped us, and it will help us in the long run, again, because we're, 7 days into that, isolation per se. We're not in a bubble, but you know what? We're a lot better off than we were this time last week. And I, I'll take that one to the grave, man. With no regrets, because I know that even though so much of this stuff was out of our control, what we did do and the actions that we did take are going to pay high dividends. You know, the problem is, like with stats, any kind of statistics, it's really hard to capture information that didn't happen. You know, and that's a real weird deal. It's like, well, how do you qualify or quantify something that never occurred? Well, in our case, I can live with that. You know, if Brewster County and the city of Alpine, if we come out of this thing and not a single case is identified in this community, hey, man, I mean, whatever we did, I can't put my finger on what exactly we did, but we did something right.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my take on it, Eric. And I think that, you know, Eric and I had a discussion the weekend prior to that kind of transpiring, and at the time, we were both kind of leery of going to that step because, you know, we understand tourism and our economy and you know, finances and budgets and whatnot. But by the time that following week was halfway through, we're like, you know what, that's the right thing to do. And both of us had that, you know, our meetings at the same time. So back to the unified front, I think it's we're all on the same page, man, and we're just trying to do our best to do our best.
Well, we are a community that depends on tourism,
yes.
And this certainly is devastating if you're especially in the hotel motel business. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure between both the city and the county, maybe there are some things either by tax exemptions or tax deferments or mm-hmm. something that could possibly be done to help those business owners, because they really are getting hit hard. Yes. And it's not like they have some other, you're taking away 100% of their business.
Right.
And I understand why doing sure. so, but those businesses are suffering. So
yes,
it would be good for the county and the city to keep them in mind in the future to hopefully...
Progressive relief.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of why we're tracking the stimulus bill, the CARES Act, so diligently, Martin, is because for many of the folks, it's going to be an opportunity to keep their business afloat.
And they just may need assistance, and what you seem to be providing is finding them the avenues to go down to get these loans and grants that may be available from the federal government. So
exactly.
I think if the city and the county take an active approach to helping these businesses, that would go a long ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's definitely. Absolutely. One other message I just got text in was if there was a shelter in place order, how would this impact local restaurants?
Well, they would remain open takeout only because there are the part of the critical infrastructure. There's still folks that are working in the community or not living here per se, but maybe they're traveling through. So in my mind, that doesn't supersede that, order or that piece of it. But I do think it makes it more stringent that they can be pulled over, like the local folks that are just kind of driving around town. That maybe aren't going to pick up something to eat, for so and so, because now because of the order, both APD and sheriff's office, now they have another set of marching orders of what they have to do to maintain, that piece of the order. So, I don't, that's my gut reaction because I know that's it's still part of the. I mean, I know grocery stores would remain open. But what if somebody is working here and they don't have a kitchen at home to go to? Then they would have to go out and get something to eat, like Sonic or whatever.
Well, how is it in Marfa, do you know? Is Marfa have the restaurants closed?
The restaurants were open for...
To go only.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even after the...
Yeah, and so we would stay under that.
Right.
That sort of...
I got a call a second ago, Judge. Sure. What time is the meeting on Wednesday?
At 9:30.
9:30 yes, in the morning.
9:30
okay.
in the morning. Yeah, we're trying to keep at least at the same time, in between meetings. But 9:30, and it will be broadcasted live stream, on the on Facebook and also, I think, also on Zoom. But Facebook for sure, and we will allow for some public comment there at the front end, if folks want to call in and give us some feedback, and then of course a week from Wednesday is our regular meeting.
Okay,
we'll get that one in.
All right, we may have one more question. Someone just called in. All non-residents out by March 23rd mandate. I guess. PJ, what was this?
On your March 23rd mandate, did you say that all non-Brewster
residents
would need to be out of Brewster County? If not, they would be fined $5,000?
I did not say that. No.
And if you did not say that, why don't we do that, was the question.
Okay. Well, the law, there's some parameters to what I can and can't do.
Okay.
Now, what I did say is that if there is someone that has been here for more than 14 days, like an RV individual, snowbirds.
Yeah, and they're considered a resident
sure,
for the most part.
They've established at least temporary residency. They can stay in the county, but if they leave for whatever reason, they can't come back to the county. But the fine is $1,000. If someone violates an order, and it's not so much the RV owner, the person that owns the RV, but it's the RV park for allowing them to stay at their park knowing what the order is.
Have you had to have anybody fined yet?
There have been a couple of folks, Martin, in South County that, and I think we're hoping that it gets resolved, but there are a couple of pending cases down in South County. It's a Class B misdemeanor, so we're trying to work through the details because typically the JP, gets misdemeanors if they're Class C, but then B and A get bumped up to county court, which is myself. So that's where it becomes more of Steve Houston and my court that they have to pay the fine or, come to the hearing or and whatnot. So there's some moving parts that we really hadn't anticipated having to do any of this. But, but there are, consequences and some of it is financial. There will be a protocol and a procedure for making sure that, if somebody is fined, ticketed, they're going to pay their fine or go to jail.
Okay. And one more thing, is shelter in place a county action or a city action, or could be either or?
It could be either or. If the county takes the action, then the city
would have to follow suit. That's what I was wondering. In Presidio County, it's the entire county that's in shelter in place, or just the city of Marfa?
City of Presidio and then the city of Marfa.
Okay.
Yes. But I don't think Judge Guevara has done something for the county as a whole.
Right. You're right. You're correct. She has not. She's contemplated it. But I think we're kind of on the same page that, well, perhaps, I mean, the two communities are covered, you know. But I think she's also holding off until if something happens and there's an identified case, you know, obviously she'd bump it up to her next level as far as Presidio County. You know, Martin, and one of the things we're trying to do as counties out here, the Tri-County, is we talk on a pretty much a daily basis to try to be consistent and with what we're doing, you know, with the adjacent counties. But again, something may happen here that may not affect them as much as it is going to affect us, or vice versa. As long as we're continuing to show that the folks are being responsible and being accountable for themselves at minimum, the shelter in place, we're going to go ahead and try to hold off on that as long as possible.
Okay, I think we have one. Hold on one second here. Sure. I think we've got one more call. I can't pick up.
He's calling in on 837.
Okay, here we got one more caller calling in. I'm going to put this caller on the air. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good afternoon. This is John Waters from the Big Bend Gazette calling.
Yes, John, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question for both the judge and for Mr. Zimmer. Over the weekend, I was in Big Bend National Park working on a story looking at visitation. As you well know, the park continues to remain open for day use. And in two separate visits, people are still coming into the national park. I looked at license plates from where people are from. I saw several California license plates, Louisiana, Wyoming, Missouri, Idaho, Arizona. And from at least looking at the registration stickers on cars, at least 12 Texas counties from outside the region. And none of these cars had the little sticker that employees of the national park are required to have, so they weren't people who work in the park. Is there anything that the county and the city is considering doing, any messaging or communication to the National Park Service about possibly closing the national park?
I was not aware of that there was still quite a bit of traffic going down in that direction. Bob Krumenaker, the superintendent, and I, we've been in communication, for the past month now, I guess, or 3 weeks at least, with all this that's been going on. But I will definitely reach out to him and see if there are some things that they can do to help us out on our end. I know that they can. From what I understand, there's nobody at the, you know, charging a fee, but I know that they don't have any kind of barricade up either. So I'm guessing that's why they're still coming, is because they can still drive through the park. And if there's no other way of, you know, preventing them without sending out some messaging and maybe, you know, putting up some barricades, I'm not sure what else they could do legally, you know, from their end. But I know that there's no advertising going on, but I guess, you know, with a park that big, I mean, you don't need to advertise a whole lot.
Yeah, I think what it's going to take, Judge, is I think it's going to take a letter from the county judges, mm-hmm. both yourself and Judge Guevara, as well as supportive letter from the cities to the National Park Service that says, in light of the pandemic, we would request immediate closure of Big Bend National Park, and probably write it in a way that says, you know, this is pretty rural, remote area. We have X amount of sheriff's deputies to manage. I mean, obviously, we know this is the largest square footage county in the state, and that we would request closure until we get past the peak and the governor starts reopening things from the state. So maybe we could work on something like that with Bob later today or first thing tomorrow, see if that can go up.
I agree, Eric, and I think also Congressman Hurd's office has been very, very helpful up to this point. You know, he was the first one to reach out, you know, a couple of weeks back, and you know, they've been in pretty constant contact, just asking if we need anything, and that may be another avenue for us to, you know, get things to him, and then him on his end can make some things happen pretty quickly. So yeah, we definitely need to get on that out, and I'll do my part, and we'll talk, you know, after this meeting and get that ball rolling. But thanks, John.
I might just add one more comment. In terms of the closure of national parks, it's not up to the local superintendent, and I do know that, you know, Superintendent Krumenacher will be happy to work with any and all authorities, but the actual decision to close a national park comes from Washington.
Right, and there again, back to my point about getting Congressman Hurd involved. I think he's the key, one of the key figures on that end. Yeah, because that's where their marching orders come from.
All right. Well, thank you both, and thank you, Martin.
All right, bye. Thank you, John. Okay, well, gentlemen, I thank you both. I know you didn't expect to be here quite this long, but obviously you've got everyone's interest, because everyone is interested in what's happening with the coronavirus as far as it's affecting our community. I want to thank you both for coming in and for the great job you're both doing. I know it's tough times for everyone, and heavy is the head that wears the crown, but you both are doing a great job, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Martin.
Okay, and we'll have you back in again at any time that you want. Our doors are always open to you, and the microphone's always on for you.
And I appreciate you for making time for us, man. I know you provide a valuable service in the community, man. We all appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, you're very kind.